hello everyone, welcome back to Music College Unfiltered. And this week, my lovely guest is Charlotte Kennedy.
Hello,
so hello Charlotte.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good. I'm very excited to be on Music College Unfiltered this morning.
So can you tell me a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do? All of that.
I'm Charlotte Kennedy. I'm in the fourth year of my undergraduate degree, which is my final year, and I'm a classical soprano, so I'm part of the vocal studies and opera department. But in addition to this, I sit on the Students' Union as the education officer this year.
Yeah, so we are teammates on the Students' Union.
Colleagues, if you will.
So as with all my guests, I always start by asking them about their favourite college memories through over the years. So do you have any that spring to mind?
I was actually thinking about this after listening to episode one and episode two. And I was thinking, like, what is, because it's so hard to define one memory, because for me, I feel like there's so many little things that have happened that make up why it's been such a fab journey. And I can pinpoint a few things, but on the whole, it's just like this, just the general, and I think everyone said this on your podcast so far, but just the general like community feeling of like being in the building, talking to people. Like I've had some of the funniest times doing that. Like it could be 11 a.m. in the morning and I've had a chat with someone and I'm like laughing out loud.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I was thinking the one that really struck me was, for your listeners at home, our third year recitals got deferred due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And so they moved from what would have been May, June time to November of 2020. And obviously COVID-19 had a massive impact on performing. And so I hadn't performed properly in a kind of concert situation with someone else in so long. And so my third year recital for me is definitely up there with one of my favorite memories. I can't even explain how excited I was. I didn't even feel nervous. I got like halfway through and I was like, I don't want this to stop. It just feels so good.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing as well where like it shouldn't have been as exciting as it is. Well, it should have, but the whole COVID thing, you wouldn't have, you know, thought of it as something so significant, really.
That's if it hadn't it. Been because of everything that had happened before, it was like so much more exciting than it would have been. It would have been fun, but it was like I was elated. And also like I had an audience of four people and a panel of two, and still I felt, honestly, it was like the best performance ever. I just had so much fun.
Oh, that's lovely. No one's really spoken about their kind of deferred recitals or anything yet, so
I just found that so exciting. I think it was just the like difference from not having performed in so long.
Yeah, that's so true. I think I found it, I just thought it was never ever going to happen. Like yeah. I didn't believe that it was real, so when it happened, I think for that reason I was almost dreading it because I wasn't excited about it. Because I didn't think
it
was going to happen.
That's the thing about like things like recitals and like performing solo is quite like a polarizing thing. I feel like you either love it or you hate it. Like so many people hate it. They might like absolutely love playing in an ensemble, but like performing alone is like petrifying. And I feel like it's like everyone's got a different thought on that. But for me, it was so exciting.
Yeah. Aww, that's such a
then
nice
I was
story.
Also thought opera in my second year was also so good because we were on stage so much. I had so many good costumes. Although I did play a man and every other person, there was of the women in it, in the chorus, let's say there was like 25 of us, three of us played men.
Do you not think that's like more fun though? I would love that.
To some extent, but I did have a severe allergic reaction to the costume because it was a wool soldier's costume. So maybe if that didn't happen, I'd have more fun. My legs were like so itchy. I thought, bloody hell.
I love going to see that.
I'm because, so pleased to hear that.
Yeah, because it was like everyone was on the stage that from our year.
That so you
it was
knew.
Like, yeah, so it just felt So I was proud of everyone.
It actually gets, I think you can get quite like emotional when you watch your friends and things. I once went to see my friend at the Uni of Birmingham, and she was doing a production of Sondheim's A Little Night Music, and she played, bizarrely, a character called Charlotte. But I remember feeling so like emotional after seeing her. And I think it's because we've been friends since we were like 11. I felt like I'd seen her like grow into this amazing person. I thought, oh my God, it's like, it's so amazing watching your friends like excel at something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like the best feeling ever. We're kind of lucky that we get to like experience that regularly.
That's so true, because like all my other friends that have, that do academic degree, well, more academic degrees or not performance based anyway, you have no way to kind of know, you have no, there's no indicator for you to see like how much they've grown, because it's not performance, you can't, it's not tangible to you.
I actually find as well that it's not like a difficulty, that's the wrong word, but it is quite weird like talking to my friends and family about my degree, because like it's not like an academic degree, and like I'm not following like what is the route that most people follow. And like I'm explaining what I do and I think, oh my goodness, it sounds so bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I don't do an exam, I sing, like I do a 30 minute recital. They're like, what? And it's so weird to explain to people.
I remember meeting up with a few friends from home in like the second year, and we had a chat about uni, because I was one of the only people who took a gap year, so they were all like in their final year, like moving on. I was like not even halfway through, trying to explain what I did, and I was like, I just kind of play the flute, really. It's like, how is that a degree? Also, like, I'm really evaluating my life as I'm stood in this practice room playing my long sustained notes for like the 20th minute. What am I doing? How is this a career? How is this a degree? I don't know. How have I ended up here?
Do you ever feel guilty as well about it? Because sometimes like I'll be singing and I know this is what I should be doing. Like I know I should be practicing and I'm doing the right thing for like me and my degree. But then I think about like my friends doing like full-time jobs and I'm like, I feel so guilty that I'm just like here and I'm like loving this. Like, is
this right? I suppose the difference is like we're not in the working world yet. So when it becomes like, if you choose to go down the performance route, when you start freelancing, that's when it becomes really like challenging. Yeah. But yeah, I do understand what you mean. It's, and also I think it's really hard when people, especially if people haven't even like done kind of county music, like youth orchestras or whatever, for them to understand that it's actually like, it is hard work when all it sounds like is you're playing the flute or singing. Sometimes I find that like frustrating because I can't really explain.
I think it sounds easy on paper. I think that's the thing. Like explaining it, you think like, oh yeah, that's just like easy, whatever. But I feel like it's complicated. And I feel like constantly, I don't know about you, but I constantly feel like I'm working at 100%. And
yeah.
I think it sounds easy on paper, but you're like so focused.
Yeah, and I think maybe this is the same for other degrees, but I, because my performance and, you know, that skill is so much part of my personality and who I am, I constantly feel like the marks or the feedback or the criticism I get, it's hard to detach that from personal attack.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if that's the same for other people at degrees.
I think it's just so, like, playing an instrument, and for me singing, is so like involved with yourself. And I think that makes it quite hard actually being at musical. I think it's important. I think we have to like make the distinction between different degrees and like almost like this is what we've chosen for ourselves. Obviously to feel bad about it, but we've chosen to like make ourselves vulnerable with our instruments or whatever. But it is really hard to like get feedback, and even if you know it's not personal, it kind of intrinsically is, because you put so much of yourself into it.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
But I think it's good in the long run. I think a lot of lessons can be taught from that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think for most people anyway, by fourth year, you kind of learn how to separate feedback from personal criticism. What made you apply for the RNCM? Our next question.
So I was actually going to, well, I applied to do maths and music at university. To preface this, I did maths, further maths and music at A level. So I was really into maths. I was really into music. And I was just going to study maths. I think I was very academically minded. And I think the thought of doing music, which maybe a lot of people will relate to, is that it feels like so not secure and it feels like a massive risk. And I think I wasn't much of a risk taker. And so I thought, I was just going to do maths. And I thought, I'd do maths and music. And then I'd not even heard of music college. I didn't know what it was. I just didn't know what it was at all. And I think it was my mum who like ended up reading about it online. And I thought, oh, that really suits me. And I spoke to my singing teacher, my teachers at school. And they were like, just go for it. And so I ended up applying at the same time as I applied to do maths and music. I also applied to conservatoires. So I think I did five of each. And I think I didn't think anything would come out of applying to a conservatoire. I think I thought that's definitely like, I probably won't get in. I'm not good enough, all this. And then ended up getting into Thorough Northern College of Music. And I actually remember so distinctly being at my offer holder's day, and I still had all my offers open.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't decided what I was doing. And I was speaking to two of my course mates who I'd obviously just met that day. And I had the best day ever. I thought, it was like, I can't explain the excitement I felt like before I came here. It was almost like a dream I'd only just had come true. It was so exciting. And my new course mates were like, are you going to accept your offer tonight? And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And it was like such a like, I was like, sure, I'm just going to do it. And then I've never looked back.
Oh, that's amazing. So it really was like a gut feeling kind of thing.
I think so. I think it was definitely like I just kind of thought, yeah, this is what I want to do. And definitely at first, I remember my first year having like some regrets. I found it really hard adjusting to like performing all the time. I was like really used to just like sitting down doing, obviously for me, it had been like doing pages of maths. And then I ended up like, it took me a while to adjust to this thing of like practicing all the time, and you have to decide what it is and you don't get results overnight. With maths, I knew instantly if I'd got something right or wrong.
Yeah.
I just used a calculator or whatever. And it took me a while to get used to that. And so I think in my first year, I was like, oh, I wish I'd like gone to normal uni and like know what I was doing instantly. But now in my fourth year, I have absolutely no regrets. I like know that was the best decision ever. And I feel like I couldn't have chosen a better route for myself. But it took me a good 4 years to get there. Yeah. I have to admit.
It is hard, especially when if you're surrounded by people who have gone to uni, like comparing yourself to like, would I prefer that lifestyle or whatever? It's hard.
It's really hard. And I think it's like when you're, I feel like that age from like 16 to, well, even to now, you have to make so many important decisions and you have to make them yourself. Like, it's like the first time in your life you just have to decide what do you like actually want. But like, that's actually such a hard question. Like, what do you actually want to do?
No one knows when they're that young.
Exactly. It's fully loaded. So I think you just have to trust your gut and it works out in the end. We're kind of similar in that regard, aren't we, with the maths?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, still now I'm like, oh, I wonder what I'd be doing if I was doing maths. But I don't think I'd have any clearer idea of actually what I want to do with my life anyway. So.
And also, you've got the reverse is you could have done maths and been thinking every day. You might have ended up like being in every single like orchestra at the uni and then been like,
what have I done?
I want to play flute all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's such a double-edged sword when you start thinking about that, I think.
So speaking of like all of the reasons you came to study music and, you know, that kind of maths versus music question, do you have any clearer idea of what you want to be doing once you graduate?
So I really want to do a master's in music and focus on my singing more, but I'm going to take a year out in the meantime. I think partly this year has been obviously a weird one and I don't want to go straight into it. But also I've not ever taken a year out. And so I think it will give me some good time to focus on myself and my voice and I get to like know myself. That's not just like me working all the time towards something.
This is the thing that's so different about like singers as well. You have to wait for you to grow into your voice, don't you?
Yeah, you've got to let yourself marinate. I don't know why I just used that word. It just came to me. Got to marinate yourself for a bit. You do. You've got to wait for your voice. Like, you can't rush the process. So it's almost like there's no point rushing straight into it. So that's also an important factor as well. And I think that's the case for a lot of singers. Yes, I'm going to take a year out, but I really know that I want to do singing. That's what I've kind of come to the conclusion to now. So I'm going to give it my best shot.
Yeah. Does it feel almost like a bit of a relief to know that that's where you want to be heading? Or does it feel more scary?
I think it's exciting because if it doesn't work out, then at least I know I've tried to make it work out. What are you doing? How are you feeling? Well,
I'm feeling stressed. yeah, I don't really know. Well, I have a much clearer idea of what I want for my future now, and like various conversations I've had even over the past couple of weeks and like months have been very helpful for me, because I think I felt like I wanted my decisions about my future to be validated. It's the kind of thing where you feel this expectation to really want a performance career, and although I love performance, I don't know if it aligns with what I want for my life. So I think I'm looking at the minute, I'd like to go down a more kind of arts management, arts administration route. I still really want to be involved with the arts, but yeah, I'm just taking a bit of time. And then if I decide I want to apply for masters again, and I like regret my decision to stop like, you know, performance training, then like, I'm not going to forget how to play the flute. I'm always going to play. So I think that, yeah, that's my plan at the minute. So basically I don't have one, but
that's okay though, and that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited by the prospect of like, I feel more settled and not as stressed out. But that's just like my personal preference. Like, I think I just don't, it's not like I don't have what it takes to like do the whole freelance thing, but it doesn't align with the things I need, the structure I need in my life to stay sane. So
we had this great like talk the other day with, I cannot remember her name, Susan, I can't think of her surname, but it was about yourself, like what you want for your future, who your tribe is, like who the people you want to work within your life. And it was actually so eye-opening, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it made me feel so validated, like finally like someone's telling me it's okay for me to want something that's like not the path that we've been taking down, but it's also okay to want that route. And it's all about putting your own thoughts and feelings first and not the expectations of others.
It's actually also so interesting that you say this, because something that was really important to me when I became education officer was kind of having this optionality for people, like in their degree, because it, like, you go in and it's a performance degree and obviously everything is catered to that, and I think to some extent it needs to be, because let's face it, most people want to do that, and when you go in that's what you're kind of signing up for. But at the same time, if you start when you're 18-19, you're finishing when you're 22-23, obviously your plans are going to change, obviously what you enjoy and hate, and maybe you come to it and you think, oh my god, this is not the life for me, but you might have thought it was. And it was really important to me that students like felt like they could say, oh, actually that's not for me anymore, I can do something else. And I feel like Cara, our SU president, has done a good job at doing that. We had like loads of talks with people who went to the RNCM but ended up doing like completely different careers, which was so interesting. And actually I think from conversations, like our meetings I've been in this year, I do think there's definitely the RNCM about like opening up more of these ideas. I think it's like almost a conservatoire wide problem, or just even just university in general, that you go in thinking one thing doesn't mean you're gonna think the same at the other side of it, because you're in that age where you are so like malleable.
Yeah.
Change your mind so much.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you never really know until you start your career, whether it's something that you enjoy or not.
But, like, why would you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you have any idea? Like, when I was 18, I was, like, ridiculous. Like, I think I thought I was, like, I actually think when I was 18, I thought I was going to be, like, a businesswoman. Like, I love structure. I love this, that. I am so different now. Like, I do a lot of freelance work. I love that. The thought of, like, being in a desk job all day, every day, absolutely, I just know it's not for me.
Yeah.
Whereas I think when I was 18, I thought, yeah, I want to do that. Yeah. Like, do I really? It took me, like, a good while to think, oh, actually, I don't think I do.
But it sounds exciting having a gap year and finally just taking some time for you to just be you.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am. And yeah, I think it'll be fun. I feel really excited for the future, actually. Nervous as well, definitely, but excited.
So you briefly spoke about your position on the SU. Could you, like, briefly describe the role and why you applied, stuff like that?
So the education officer is focused around, like, matters relating to the degree program. So I head up the student representatives, and together we go out into the student body, ask for feedback and report it back to, like, senior staff members at meetings. And it's about student experience and how the program works. So I sit in a lot of meetings. I quite enjoy that. And then obviously alongside that, as Ellie knows, we kind of all chip in together with everything else. Yeah. Although my main focus is there, we all organise together, and if we have any weeks, we kind of all work on them together. It's quite a versatile job.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's the job description and then there's what you actually do. And, well, I think it's actually, your role sounds more structured in terms of, like, your actual job description this year anyway. because last year I was education officer and we changed it around a bit. We, like, because the education officer didn't sit on the committees last year, but you do now. But I do feel like my role is definitely a bit more, I do a bit of this and a bit of that. And,
a bit more ad hoc.
Yeah, exactly. Well, which I guess, what else would I be doing as activities officer in COVID-19?
It's not ideal, is it, really? It's definitely been a tough year to be on the students' union.
I mean, it's been less busy, but yeah, it's hard because you're trying to still create the same atmosphere that the SU last year and the year before created, with, like, the parties and, like, the community spirit, but how are you meant to do that when no one can see each other?
I think Rosie, who's our welfare officer, made a good point in September, which is, like, when you do things online, they can't just replicate real life, because then they're not enjoyable, because they're not, like, real life. You kind of have to, like, be really innovative and, like, think of a new way to approach something.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't always work. And it's quite scary because you don't know how it's going to work and stuff like that.
Yeah. We never really know how people perceive the SU because we only know what people tell us. And obviously people only really come forward with, like, positive affirmations rather than, like, I hate you, you're awful.
please can no one, this is a PSA, please do not come forward and say you hate any of us.
Yeah, I don't think we can cope with that right now.
It's too much.
How have you actually, like, found the role itself during everything being online?
I've found it quite difficult. I think in a normal circumstance, the education officer kind of, like, has to have, well, the whole SU, but especially education officer has to have their ear to the ground in terms of, like, what the student feeling is. And it's really valued by staff what students are thinking. You have to be, I think, very, as a representative, student representative and education officer, you have to be very, try and really get a range of opinions and voices. But obviously that's very hard when you're not seeing people. And a lot of our students have elected to take this year online. And so it's really hard to get in touch with people. And that's what's been really challenging is I feel like I'm only seeing a snapshot of the people I speak to regularly, which is I'm getting like honest opinions and things, but it's quite hard to get a full picture. And also I get it, like if I was getting an email from the equivalent of me, I also wouldn't probably want to come forward and say I'm not liking this.
Yeah,
but that's what's been really hard. It's kind of like I think getting the student voice.
Yeah, and I think like so much of the feedback we get, you kind of touched on it, like it's just from being in Cottage Bar and people come up to you and they have a moan and then they go home. That's most of the feedback you get. Or you hear people having a conversation at Cottage Bar and you're not even in the conversation, but that's not happening. So
like so often last year when I was representative, so I was student representative for the Bachelor of Music third years, and so often I just go up to people who are in my year and I just say like, what are you not happy with? And like as soon as I said that, I'd get a whole different kind of set of ideas than if I just sent an email or stood up in front of everyone. Suddenly like people, and I get it, because like as soon as you like put something in an email, it like feels really formal and like really aggressive almost. And I think most people, like, and most of us, I would say like on the whole we have a really good time. There's not things we it's not like we hate them, so we don't need to like put it in an email. Whereas if you're just saying it in conversation to me, it's like complete, it entirely changes how it sounds. And I think that's why it's so hard this year, because like as soon as you put it in an email, it sounds like really formal, like I don't like this.
Yeah, I wonder whether as well how many people are just kind of, they're not like 100% happy with it, but they're just going along with it because they think it's going to change once the pandemic's over, which I get.
It's hard to identify like what's just because of COVID-19 and what's like an actual problem.
Yeah, definitely. So why did you apply and how did you find campaign week?
I applied because, as I've just mentioned, I was student representative for my year, and I'd really enjoyed sitting on meetings, and I felt like I got quite a good rapport with the staff, and I felt quite confident in delivering the student voice. I definitely didn't at first. If there's like 6 meetings in the year, it definitely took till the latter half of the year for me to get confident in doing it. But I felt like I was confident doing it, and I could kind of identify areas where I thought, oh, I'd quite like to do this, or this is really important to me. And so that's kind of why I applied. And I just really like the thought of being able to like shape the degree ourselves and be there for the students. And yeah, it was like really important to me that like I feel like a degree should just be a stepping stone into the rest of your life and not be like a thing that's like you have to do it and then you're at the end and then it's a new chapter. I just feel like it's one step on the journey. And I think I kind of, after sitting on these meetings, thought, oh, I feel like I could maybe make a difference. Do you know what I mean? And then campaign week was the most stressful week of my life. It was so hard. First, it was online. That's a problem. Secondly, I felt like I was bombarding everyone who wasn't at the RNCM with this stuff about me. And then I'd be getting texts from like my family members, like, what is this? And I'd have to explain. And it was like so surreal explaining it.
So many people ran for roles as well. So it was
It was hectic. I felt like really competitive, and I'm not really a competitive person as it goes. So I was like, whoa, this is a lot.
Yeah, it was stressful. It was so stressful, especially compared to my first campaign week, because when I went for education officer, I was the only one that ran for it. So.
Whereas when I ran, there was 5 of us. Yeah. And so it's like hard as well. Because also you can see other people and you think, oh, that's such a good idea. Like, I'd probably vote for them. And then you think, you're like, oh, I should be doing this.
Yeah, I know. It is stressful. In hindsight, I wish I'd have had a kind of campaign week plan, rather than being like, I'm going to do a bit of this, I'm going to do a bit of that. Because if you have a plan and you stick to it, like, that's that.
I did have a plan, to be fair, which definitely made it less hectic. I had some pre-prepared. I thought, on Thursday, I'll do this.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, I'll do this.
That's definitely the right idea.
It was still stressful though, so.
Yeah, it was so stressful. And like, just the whole week, I remember just spending my life on social media and being, just really stressed about the whole thing.
Also, it's hard because like, we're quite a small, well, we're a very small uni, and then like, it feels like really embarrassing, like thinking, oh, those people are going to see this, like, what are they going to think of me? And I am the worst person for like, people pleasing. I like, it's so bad. I'm trying to improve about myself, but I really take like what people think of me really like seriously. And so I was like, oh my God, I'm like putting myself out there. What if people don't like me? Charlotte, it doesn't matter.
You got elected anyway, so it's all good. I'll be really interested to see how many people run this year, because last year so many more people ran than like any year before. It was like,
do you think it's like testament though to like what we're like as a like conservatoire university higher education institute that so many people want to do it? I think that's really definitely amazing. Like so many people want to like see a change, like help make a difference. And like, I just think that's really lovely.
That is, yeah, that's so true. And especially given how small our actual student body is, how many people ran.
It's a large percentage, really. And like, we have so many student representatives, because not only do we have the ones for like the programs, like each instrument has student representatives. Like, I feel like it's so good. So many people like active in.
Yeah, it's so good. And there's so many other ways like you can get involved as well. Like, if anyone's listening to this and is like thinking about running, just go for it. And if you're worried about going for it and then not getting it and being embarrassed or being disappointed, there's so many other things that you can do to get involved. And it, like, so much of the role is kind of what you make of it anyway. You could do loads of the stuff that you do in the roles outside of the role anyway.
Absolutely. And if you're thinking about doing it and you're thinking, oh, but this, just go for it. So if you do get it, it is really fun. It can be stressful at times when there's like three meetings, three back-to-back weeks, but it is really fun.
Yeah, it is really, really fun. I'm so excited to see who the new team are.
Me too. I think they'll have a good year on their hands if Boris's plans go ahead.
Yeah.
We were talking the other day about like, what would like your dream SU event be if you came back from like lockdown? Like, what would the dream event be? And the options we were coming up with.
Yeah,
what would yours be?
I actually, over the past few weeks, have been obsessed with the idea of a boat party, like
you
a summer
have,
boat
actually.
Party. Yeah, that would be so good.
The only problem is in Manchester that the like closest bit of water is a canal as opposed to like a river.
Yeah, it's not quite the same, is it?
It's a different kind of boat. A lot shallower, a lot smaller.
Maybe the reason I'm like so obsessed with this idea is it could happen sooner because it's outdoors. So it seems more realistic in my mind. So therefore I'm like actually excited about the idea that it could actually happen rather than being like, oh, this, if everything goes back to normal, this will be fun. Do you know what I mean?
I was thinking if I was going to have a theme, actually my flatmate recommended this, but anything but clothes. And I ain't saying come naked. That's no one needs to see that, guys. But like, it's where you come in like a bin bag or like you make an outfit out of anything but clothes, hence the name. I just think that'd be so funny.
Yeah.
And I've also seen like the equivalent, you do anything but clothes and then you can't drink from a cup, so you like have to bring something.
Like, that's so stressful though. I don't think that's gonna be allowed for a long time.
But I'm thinking like you could really get a large kind of cup going out of something, and then you don't have to get to the bar even more times.
Could just, you like, use that a fill bowl? That
yeah, I love that.
I imagine that the risk assessment for an event like that could be quite lengthy.
It probably would. It's a good thing. But it would
but
be so
worth
fun.
It. Yeah, it would be
I always think a disco theme. But I don't know if that's Sam having a bit of a 70s, like, obsessed with, like, 70s music at the moment.
Well, on these positive notes, do you have any closing statements, some last words? Anything you want to say?
I would say if you are at university or music college or at the RNCM especially, enjoy every single second of it because it will pass by in the blink of an eye, and do things that make you happy in your life. They're my two bits of advice today.
Aww, very lovely.
Thank you.
And I will see all of the audience that we have. I'm sure there's many, many, many of you. Tune in next week for another episode.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming and joining me and having a chat. It's been lovely.
No problem.